we were helped by, well, I suppose I could say that the zeitgeist, eh? The spirit of the times. Eh? I'm talking about the late 60s and early 70s. Things were very different then, and again I'm talking about London, I suppose, mostly. Things were very different then. There was a different sort of atmosphere around, an atmosphere of experimentation and new things, changes in all sorts of walks of life, experimentation. Well, we had the Beatles, didn't we, in those days? Some of you perhaps remember them. And there were all sorts of other groups that I just don't remember the names of. Since there were the Beatles, there was the Maharishi, a very colourful character one heard on the radio, sometimes with his high-pitched laugh. I'm not quite high-pitched enough, but it was a real high-pitched sort of cackle, a transcendental cackle, I suppose. then there was Guru Maharaj, the boy guru, people flocked to. It's quite forgotten now, I think, at least in this country. And of course Zen was in the air. Several of our own friends were very interested in Zen. Ananda was very interested in Zen, and so were several others. And there was a smell of something which I perhaps shouldn't mention in the air. That was sometimes very much in the air. I mean, not in the FWBO. But if one joined a queue to attend a certain kind of film, well, there'll be a certain sort of pall of smoke, you know, hanging over the whole queue. And yes, it was the days of psychedelic drugs and experimenting with oriental music, new forms of literature. I remember Jack Kerouac's novels were very popular in those days. And in the FWBO too, and also Eric Fromm's writings were very popular. So there was definitely a almost sort of supportive spirit in those days. A spirit that was supportive of any new sort of spiritual venture rather than antagonistic to it. Of course, not everybody was affected by this zeitgeist, as I've called it. It wasn't really a fully fledged zeitgeist. It affected only a portion of the population, at least in London. But it did affect them. And we, as it were, took advantage of that, or were able to take advantage of that. And I've sometimes thought that if I'd returned to this country 10 years earlier, it would have been very difficult to found an FWBO. And had I arrived 10 years later, I would have missed the bus, so to speak. So it seems I arrived just at the right time, 64, and then, after a spell at the Hampstead Vihara, started the FWBO in 1967. So in a way we rode on the crest of a wave. There was at least some external conditions at the time, cultural conditions, social conditions, which supported us rather than opposed us. There's the simple example, for instance, of the possibility of squatting. At that time, squatting was legal, believe it or not, under a law passed, I forget, in the reign of which king? I think it was in the reign of one of the Edwards in the Middle Ages. And the law was passed to allow what we call squatting because of the fearful depopulation that had followed the Black Death, when a third of the population of this country perished. So that law was still in force, under which you could squat in an unoccupied house, unoccupied premises. Of course, that law was speedily repealed. But meanwhile, some of our friends had that advantage. They didn't have to pay rent and that helped. And also in those days, it seems, employment was very easy for young people to get. They didn't mind giving up work for a few months because they knew quite well, as soon as they needed some money, as soon as they needed a job, well, they could just go and get one. I believe it isn't quite like that now, so people are a bit more economically conscious. So we had the advantage of riding to some extent on the crest of this wave. It certainly did make things easier.